Extended Christian greetings to each one gathered here in this assembly. Good to be with you. I know as I plan to share this message, I know one sister here already heard it because I shared with it this message of Providence. My wife has heard a number of times. But I have this burden on my heart, and so I've been sharing around the different churches I'm asked to preach. And so hope you can work with me on that, those I've heard already. I'm concerned about my own life, and I would serve God faithfully all my days. And I'm concerned about your lives, that you would serve your life faithfully for the Lord God. And so this is the burden of my heart, like to share on the supernatural power of God. I believe, like E.W. Tozer said, when we get a picture of God, how God really truly is, then when we go out tomorrow, Lord willing, wherever we work, we're going to choose correctly. Because we get the picture of God for who He truly is. His righteousness, His holiness. This morning we'll look at His power, His tremendous power that He has, and how we can tap into that power. The supernatural power of God. Daniel said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit where... whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Daniel 7:9. God's throne says pictures in our mind, and I can't get the full picture, and you can't either, because we're, this is part of our humanity. Our mind's going to go so far. It says God's throne was like the fiery flame. God is all powerful. God is not only sitting on His flaming, fiery throne, He is so powerful, He's everywhere at the same time. God is with us here in this assembly. God is over in China with His communism and they're wherever in their houses wherever, and worshiping God. God is everywhere present at the same time. That's because of His power. The supernatural acts of God are so many in number that it would be impossible to number them all. The Ancient of Days spoke the words, let there be light, and there was light. The Ancient of Days spoke the words, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. The Ancient of Days spoke the words, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, let the dry land appear. The Ancient of Days said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit the tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. The Ancient of Days said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. The Ancient of Days said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. The Ancient of Days said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth after his kind. The Ancient of Days said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let the words of Almighty God, it was so. Now I have said these words too, just like God said, but I have no power like God has. God just said the word, and it happened. That's his power. I say these words because God said them, and just to teach us the power of God. It happened just as God said it should be. God didn't try to do something and fail. That's only man's reality, not God's. God purposes something in his mind, and he says, let it be that way. It is that way. I get purposes, I get visions, I get dreams, what I like to do in life. And I try. And a lot of times I come up short because I'm human. I just can't always reach my goals. But God never, ever is kept away from His goal, His purpose. Whatever He has, yeah, in His sovereign will be accomplished. In 6 days, His power accomplished the creation of the world. We just, our hearts should well up and say, oh, our God is powerful. In 6 days, He made all the things that we see in creation. He is supernatural. God is supernatural. To be supernatural is above or beyond what is explainable by natural laws or phenomena. To be supernatural is a characteristic of God. God has always loved His obedient people. And doesn't that give you a warm feeling in your heart as you meditate on that fact that God loves His obedient sons and daughters? He loves you here this morning. He loves you. And with that love toward you, He'll act in your behalf. He'll protect you. He'll fight for you. He'll act in power on your behalf. Some examples, Bible examples. Just go over quickly. Think of Israel at the Red Sea crossing. We know that Israel and his sons went down into Egypt because of great famine. There they were numbers of years, a lot of years. After a while, little baby Moses was born. Little baby Moses was that, as it were, the Messiah for Israel to take them out. Fast forwarding to the plagues, God says it's time for Israel to come out of Egypt and go to Canaan. And so had plague after plague come upon the Egyptians, let my people go. Would Pharaoh listen? No, he hardened his heart again and again. He wouldn't listen to God. He thought he was God. Why do I have to let these people go? Now they're my slaves. The last plague comes, the last plague of the death of the firstborn. That night, every home that didn't have blood on the top and the side posts of the door, there was a death there. There was a great mourning in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh, his firstborn was dead. He said, let them go. Actually, make haste. No, let Israel go. So they went out with a strong hand. They even spoiled the Egyptians. They took their jewels and gold, silver, whatever they had, precious things. At least they got a little pay, maybe, for the work they did to the Pharaoh at the end. So Israel comes out with a strong hand. They go. And they head toward the Red Sea. And Pharaoh again gets a hard heart. And he says, I'm going to take these people back. I'm going to bring them back. The wilderness has enclosed them. I'll just take my army out there and I'll bring them back. So Pharaoh's his army goes in behind Israel. Where is Israel? Israel is close to the Red Sea, camping. They have a mountain on the right side. They have a mountain on the left side. The Red Sea is before them. And Pharaoh is behind with his army. They're locked, as it were. Looks like they're locked. And will be taken back to Egypt. But God's power, He loves His people. He loved Israel. He loves them now. He loves these people. And so what did God do? God says to Moses, put your rod over the Red Sea. And he put his rod up and the Red Sea parted. And Israel walked through on dry land. And as Israel was coming through the Red Sea, bare of that hard heart that he had yet, and his people were going to fall hard after them. And they came right in, just following Israel on dry land too. All of a sudden, God says, this is enough for the Egyptians and Pharaoh. He looks through at them and he starts, as it were, in my mind, playing with them in the mind. He makes the mud, the dry ground, into mud. Their chariot wheels drive heavy. And you can just see God looking at them. And the scripture says that God laughs at his enemies. God laughs at the ones he is going to discipline and take out. And he just made it, and they would say, Israel, the God of Israel is fighting for them. Just like that, God left the waters go back, destroyed the whole army in the Red Sea. God loves his people, his obedient people, and he's going to fight for you. He'll fight for you. He will. The three Hebrew children, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young men stood firm and strong. Know the story. King Nebuchadnezzar says, everyone has to bow down before this golden image I have made. Everyone has to bow and worship. These three men said, we will not bow. King gives them a second chance. Said, you're going to bow now when you hear the music. And they said, no, we can't do that. So the king gets furious, in a rage, beyond what most people go beyond. And he had the furnaces heated seven times hotter to kill these men. They were thrown in. They burnt the ropes off of them. They stood in their fire. Because no doubt Jesus Christ was there, or an angel there with them. The power of God. He loved his three Hebrew children. And he said, I'm going to spare them from the fire. Lest I forget, not always does God deliver in a miraculous way. Hebrews 11 tells us that plainly. The first part of Hebrews 11, years ago I looked at that and always focused on the first part of Hebrews 11, the miraculous deliverances. God sometimes takes his people out into heaven, the new world, heaven to be with him. These examples I'm giving are miraculous deliverances. And not always are we delivered miraculously. Sometimes our flesh is not spared, but our soul and spirit are as we go to be with God. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel in the lion's den, he was thrown in there for no sin of his. There was jealousy there in the high ranks, and they wanted to get rid of Daniel. They wanted to be higher than he was. Daniel spent a night in the lion's den. The king early in the morning said, Oh, Daniel, has your God delivered you? He said, oh, king, live forever. Yes, my God has delivered me. God sent his angel to shut up the lion's mouths. All three of these are prime examples that God loves his obedient children, and he will fight for them. He loves them. He'll fight for them. God's acts of judgment also show people his supernatural power. So first we think of the miraculous deliverance. Now I'm going to turn, as it were, the page and talk about the judgment of God. Again, both show the awesome, terrible power of God. One, miraculous deliverance for his people, and others for the great judgment he pours out on his enemies. First one we think of is the worldwide flood. Think of Noah. They're a man that God loved. And he told Noah to make this ark, because I'm going to send a flood, I'm going to send a worldwide flood upon the earth. So Noah obediently went out and built the ark. He and his sons, maybe he had some other help, but probably just he and his sons, because the others thought it was so foolish. It never rained, never had a flood before. Why would you build this? We know that when the ark was made, built, and all was ready, God had all the animals, two by two, come up into the ark. You think about the people, the society, seeing this great demonstration of animals not having the will of just going up that ramp into the ark, because God gave them the will and purpose to do that. God made those animals come into the ark to save them for after the flood. And so it was that all the animals, Noah and his sons, his wife, were in the ark, and God shut the door. When God shuts the door, he keeps his chosen inside, and he keeps the enemies outside. So God pours the water from the heavens down upon earth. And it says the ground and the currents underneath were broken up. It destroyed every wicked man and every wicked woman on the face of the earth. God's supernatural power. Nothing like this had happened before, but now it did. We know in our future, sometime in this world, God's going to send a worldwide fire, as it were, going to burn up the elements of this world. We know that's going to happen. But we will be taken out of this world, his obedient, his one that love him. And yes, we will escape that terrible time. Another example, most of the people living in the land of Canaan were destroyed because their cup of iniquity was full. God had his people accomplish his judgment. As Israel came into Canaan then, after those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they conquered nation after nation. They had a failure there with Ai. We know the reason why, because of Achan's sin. But after that, they conquered one nation after one, the next nation, because God was showing his power strong, and he was executing vengeance through the children of Israel, through the military, upon these people because of all their sins. God's power shown. And third, when God judged Israel also, he didn't just judge their enemies, but God judged Israel many times so that they would turn to God. In the book of Judges, we have the prime example of how Israel would go whoring after other gods. And God would send an enemy nation to come up and conquer them and put them under servitude. Excuse me. Under servitude. And after a while, the oppressor would be so severe on them that he would cry out to God. They'd cry out to God, and God would send a deliverer, a judge. And he would rule for so long, and then Israel would be okay again. They would last for so long. But God judged Israel, and they would turn to him after, and God would receive them again when they repented. couple of months ago, I was studying the book of Ezekiel in my private devotions, and it really stuck out to me how God judged Jerusalem. Like God, Jerusalem was, as it were, the apple of God's eye, but they sinned grievously. And so God was going to deal with Jerusalem. God told Ezekiel a prophecy. Ezekiel prophesied of these judgments that were going to come. God said in Ezekiel 15:7, "And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, another fire shall devour them. Ye shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them." Isn't that terrible? That when God in heaven, that great power source, that no other power is compared to, when His face is against a person or a nation, it is a terrible thing. The face of God against someone in a nation or a group of people, it's a terrible judgment. You must be righteous and not wicked. Wickedness will be judged. But then we know in the book of Ezekiel also that the enemies around Jerusalem that cheered on, as it were, the conquest of Jerusalem, they also were disciplined in great judgments. God, when He pours out His wrath, it's an extremely horrible act of judgment. It must always be on the obedient side and never on the wicked side, because the wicked will receive a great vengeance from God. It is righteous of God excuse me, to seek praise and glory from mankind. And God uses His great judgment, and He uses His great deliverance to show that I am the Lord. Scripture says that they might know that I am the Lord. He used both ways. How can we give God glory without experiencing His judgment? We want to give God glory, and we don't want to receive judgment. So how can we tap into the power of God, that supernatural power? We need to avail ourselves of God's gift of power. Power in Strong's means a force, a miraculous power, a miracle itself, ability, strength, a wonderful work. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 24. It would be good to read all these verses. I won't for the sake of time, and I'll just jump in the last part of this chapter, Luke 24. Verse 45 to the last verse of the chapter. "Then opened he their understanding," meaning Jesus, "that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up His hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." Verse 49 is what I want, the last part. It says, "Until ye be endued with power from on high." How do we get endued with power from on high? It just wasn't the people in Jerusalem. It's for you if you're a sinner here this morning. It's for you if you're a Christian here this morning. How do we have that power in our lives? The word "endued" is an interesting word. It means, in Strong's, it's a sense of sinking into a garment, arrayed, clothed. Having put on a garment. Now, this morning you and I, men, we put our shirts on, put our pants on, our socks, all these different pieces of dress. But in the Old Testament people, they had like kind of like a gown. I guess it must have slipped over their head and went down to their feet. And when they went into work or run, or they had to pull up their garments and around their thighs and could run. So that gives you a better picture than our clothes. We put on various articles of clothing. Back then it was, they were clothed. And that's what the word endued means. It's being fully clothed. How can we get endued with power? Number one, conversion, repentance. Being born again. I've had the blessed privilege here in the last year to lead two of my children to the Lord. The oldest son at home, say it that way, came to me. He was with me as we came home from our work, and he was with me there. And he said, "Daddy," says, "we're coming to our driveway." He said, "Daddy, I want to become a Christian." I said, "We'll go to our office." And so told my wife, and we came into our office. And such a privilege leading your children through Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. I took him through the different steps of salvation. And he confessed, went all on our knees. We took turns praying. He confessed his sin. He got up and I said, "Do you have peace?" "Yes, I have peace." It still works today. It still works today. My daughter here, just recently, she's in instruction class. She came to my wife and I was in the office and trying to take a little nap and knocking on the door. I said, "What do you want?" And she opened up and said, "Your daughter wants to become a Christian." So again, took her through the steps of salvation. She prayed a sinner's prayer. "Do you have peace?" "Yes, I have peace." Wonderful. We have power. We have power. God gives us power. We become endued with power at that moment, at the foot of the cross. When we confess our sins, we have Jesus Christ come into our lives. That's how we get endued with power. Also, right along with repentance comes repent and be baptized, the scripture says, be baptized. And so baptism is coming. For my children, my one son is baptized, my daughter is still in instruction class. That's fulfilling the scriptures. We become endued with power when we obey God's command. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The word power in this verse has a different definition. It means a privilege, a freedom, a right, a liberty. Now let's give those words in the sentence for it to be plain. God gave us the privilege to become the sons of God. God gave us the freedom to become the sons of God. And God gave us the right to become the sons of God. And lastly, God gave us the liberty to become the sons of God. Praise the Lord. He provided a way, gave us a wondrous invitation to become endued with power. If you're like me, we like power. Us men, we like power. We like power and equipment, trucks, cars, tractors, airplanes. We like power. And you get about as old as I am, 48, 50, somewhere in there. I have a book or I read already that men go through their various changes of life. And about my age now, you start thinking about power. And it must be coming here. Maybe that's why I got this message. But anyway, power. The best power we can ever have is to be tied into the power of God, not these earthly things of power, even though they fascinate us. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Are we thankful for the power of God in our lives? I don't know what time of the day you take up your Bible and have devotions. It's very important each day. Take the Word of God. Look into it. It's your power source. It's the roadmap to get to heaven. And it's a way to not lose the power source. Because we can lose our salvation if we don't live after the Word of God. We need a connection with God. Prayer. How many times? How many minutes in a day? How many minutes in a week? How many hours in a month do we connect with God through prayer? That's how we have power. God's power has saved us. It is saving us presently. Out of our hearts should spring the well of gratitude to God. Jesus saved us by the plan of God, our Father. The joy of salvation should motivate us to share with others. This morning you are saved. As Christians here, I am saved. And we should treasure that salvation. And so much that we go out and tell others the glorious news that Jesus will save them. There's a great need for evangelism. Yeah, even in America. America is so, yes, gospel hardened. But yet there's still those people that can be touched by giving our testimony, by sharing the wonderful news of salvation. But they also can be linked into that power source. Oh, that men and women would receive the glorious gospel of salvation. Acts 26:18. The reason why is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes from darkness that they might receive light instead of that darkness that they're living in. The supernatural power of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ saves the vilest sinner. I believe there's only one aspect that God won't forgive, and that is reprobate sin, the unpardonable sin. And if there's a drawing in a person they didn't commit, the unpardonable sin. But all other sins, regardless how vile they are, God will forgive. Through Jesus Christ, His blood, He'll forgive. All of us were vile sinners. Not just some of us were like, you know, little cleaned up Mennonite boys. All of us were vile, in God's sight. So we need Jesus Christ and His blood. We sang that song, a beautiful song. We were purchased by His blood. Purchased by His blood. A free gift. I didn't have to get in my wallet. I didn't have to go home and write a big check out to get somehow God to give me that power, that connection. No. It was a gift. Gift to you. Gift to me. Wonderful power we have. It's a gift. The last main point. The supernatural power of God can change the natural laws He has established on the earth for order, beauty, and safety into a miraculous action. Now, that's a long sentence. What I mean by this is, give you two examples. Peter in prison. He was bound in chains. The night before his execution, he was chained to two soldiers. There he was, lying there, I guess on the concrete or some stone, trying to get a night of sleep. Think of the Apostle Peter, coming from that man that denied Jesus, to there, ready to give his life the next day. He was sleeping the night before his execution. I don't think I'd be sleeping the night before the next morning I knew I was going to die. I doubt whether I would have. But Peter was. He was sleeping. There he was, sleeping at rest with God, in peace with God. We know the great miraculous action. There Peter was, all locked up, supposedly all secure. At the height of man's strength, whoever we put into this prison, they're going to remain in there. There sometime during the night, God sends angel in there, slap Peter on the side, and Peter jumps up and wonders what's going on. The chains fall off of his hands and his legs, wherever they were attached, and God's angel starts leading him out of prison. The first door opens. He comes to the outer door, and that door opens. And Peter goes out in the street, and all of a sudden comes to him. This is not just a dream, not a vision. This is a miraculous action of God. That's why I love so much our supernatural God. He delivers a supernatural act here. And all security of the men, of the enemy, God broke it. God broke that natural law. He crushed it and left his apostle Peter come out of prison. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Next example, we'll think of Paul and Silas. Again, people in prison. They were put in prison for preaching about God around Jesus Christ. And they were put in there in the inner prison, it says, and they put their feet in the stocks so that they'd be very, very secure. So they were in there, feet in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, what do? They sing. Even though their backs are bleeding and they're in pain, they're there singing to God. God answers, again, two obedient children of His. God acts in mighty power, and He sends a great earthquake and shakes that prison. It's supposed to be so secure, and the doors come open. Fly open. And in fact, the jailer looks at it and sees the door open. He has his sword close by, and he picks up his sword and ready to kill himself. And Paul says, oh, no, no, don't do thyself no harm. We're all here. We're all here. Again, a prison that's supposed to be so, so secure. All of a sudden the doors fly open because God again crushed the natural law and made an escape possible for Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas didn't run away. Paul and Silas started preaching to the jailer and his household. What happened? There's a great revival. That night in the jailer's house, many were saved. Again, God's power. They felt the power. They connected the power through salvation. The jailer and all his house. My Bible says, sometime in the future, the earth is going to lose its gravity over us. At the trump, those living at the time will rise to meet the Lord in the air. All we can think about today is gravity, and I'm glad we have gravity, and I'm glad God made it that way. We have to all somehow, you know, none of us went to the moon. You have to be, they tell me you have to be attached, you know, so you don't fly away or whatever. But here we have gravity on earth. Gravity. But at the trump, when Jesus comes and we're caught up out of this world, the gravity is going to be taken away from our feet. All those of us that are living in it, we're going to be taken up and meet the Lord in the air. What a blessing. Again, the natural law is broken. God established gravity. Now, no gravity for the saints. They go up in the air with the Lord. The natural body at the time will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. This body that has blood coursing through it, this body that has its aches and pains, this body that's showing some age, the white hair, all that will be changed. It will go from corruptible to incorruptible. Again, a law broken. I just love that. Our God is so great, big, and powerful. The laws that He sets are true, and they're going to act. All the world will be acted on that. At His bidding, He changes the law. No more gravity for My people, and to take them up. No more corruptible bodies for them. They'll be incorruptible. Wonderful. Natural law of death and its sting will be taken away. Death is cruel. Here, this is the other. I guess tomorrow I have a time. Time flies by so quickly. My son-in-law's mother passed away with cancer there at Mount Joy. We were there to the funeral. And witnessed that, supported my son-in-law and daughter. Again, Brother Jesse, the younger bishop, had the talk at the graveside and said, death. He said, it's so cruel and so true. But here we have God again cutting this natural law. The death and its sting will be taken away. No more death, no more sting. We'll all be supernatural. We'll be aligned with Jesus Christ. The bodies that were confined to graves will be resurrected. They will be the first to lead the way in the air to Jesus. The natural curse that came upon the whole world will not be in heaven. Again, the laws of the briars, as it were, growing is faster than the crop, the weeds, and so on. The natural curse will be cut off in heaven. In heaven, there will be no more curse. Can you imagine living in an environment where there's no curse? I can't imagine that. We're all the time dealing with the curse on this earth. Disease and pain and, yes, our gardens are overrun with weeds if we don't hoe and till and so on. Lots of work for man. In closing, in heaven we will live with our supernatural Holy Spirit, our teacher, our perfect teacher. In heaven, we're going to be living with Jesus Christ, our supernatural Savior. And in heaven, we're going to live with God, our Father, our perfect Father, our supernatural Father. And we, His sons and daughters, will also be supernatural. Supernatural because God said, I'm going to make all things new. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.